Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de la región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Comprensión de textos orales. Nivel B2. Convocatoria, septiembre 2019.
Task 1.
In October 2016, the Baltic country of Estonia elected its first female president. But one could argue that she doesn't have much to govern. Estonia is bigger than Switzerland, but its population is comparable to the US state of Maine. So, what is life really like in Estonia? Well, Estonia was once a socialist Soviet republic. However, since regaining independence in 1991, the country has joined the EU, NATO, as well as the OECD, and has firmly positioned itself as politically, culturally, and economically Western. Estonia's free market economy is growing every year, and its government debt is among the lowest in Europe. That said, the country does have a considerable income gap, with the top 20% of the population earning as much as 5 times what the bottom 20% earns. Estonia's economy and culture are heavily focused on technology. In 2000, the country declared internet access to be a human right and has since established hundreds of free Wi-Fi zones. Estonia has also fully digitized its government services and was the first country to allow online voting in a general election. Like many other Baltic and Nordic countries, Estonia is extremely homogeneous, with nearly 70% of the population ethnically Estonian. Russians are the largest ethnic minority, representing roughly a quarter of the population. But perhaps surprisingly, Estonian culture takes little influence from Russian culture, and instead positions itself closer to its Nordic neighbors, like Finland. Finnish and Estonian people enjoy similar cuisines, and both have a tradition of relaxing in saunas in the winter. Estonia has even pushed for ascension into the Nordic Council, arguing that it lost the opportunity for membership during Soviet rule. Like its neighbors, Finland and Russia, Estonia struggles with widespread alcoholism. The average Estonian drinks an estimated 3 gallons of alcohol every year, and experts say somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 Estonians die from alcohol consumption annually. That's a lot of deaths for a country with just over 1 million people. In the scope of Europe, Estonia is unique in that religion is not very widespread. Although Christianity is the country's primary faith, only 28% of the population identify as religious, and only 16% of Estonian adults say that they believe in God. As a result, Estonian values tend to be less traditional. The country has the highest rate of unmarried adults in the EU, in part because so many couples live together without opting for marriage, which is not as culturally important as it is in other countries. Most Estonians live in urban areas. In fact, nearly a third of its population live in its capital city, Tallinn. Tallinn is often called the Silicon Valley of Europe, as it has more startups per person than any other European country. Many of these small businesses have actually grown into global companies, like Skype. The city also rolled out free public transit in 2013 and now makes $22 million a year in profit from the project. There's no doubt, Estonia is modern, progressive, and highly developed. The country is considered high income and consistently ranks highly in education, press freedom, quality of life, and overall human development. Barring the harsh winters and relative isolation, life in Estonia doesn't sound too bad. In October 2016, the Baltic country of Estonia elected its first female president. But one could argue that she doesn't have much to govern. Estonia is bigger than Switzerland, but its population is comparable to the US state of Maine. So, what is life really like in Estonia? Well, Estonia was once a socialist Soviet republic. However, since regaining independence in 1991, the country has joined the EU, NATO, as well as the OECD, and has firmly positioned itself as politically, culturally, and economically Western. Estonia's free market economy is growing every year, and its government debt is among the lowest in Europe. That said, the country does have a considerable income gap, with the top 20% of the population earning as much as 5 times what the bottom 20% earns. Estonia's economy and culture are heavily focused on technology. In 2000, the country declared internet access to be a human right and has since established hundreds of free Wi-Fi zones. Estonia has also fully digitized its government services and was the first country to allow online voting in a general election. Like many other Baltic and Nordic countries, Estonia is extremely homogeneous, with nearly 70% of the population ethnically Estonian. Russians are the largest ethnic minority, representing roughly a quarter of the population. But perhaps surprisingly, Estonian culture takes little influence from Russian culture, and instead positions itself closer to its Nordic neighbors, like Finland. Finnish and Estonian people enjoy similar cuisines, and both have a tradition of relaxing in saunas in the winter. Estonia has even pushed for ascension into the Nordic Council, arguing that it lost the opportunity for membership during Soviet rule. Like its neighbors, Finland and Russia, Estonia struggles with widespread alcoholism. The average Estonian drinks an estimated 3 gallons of alcohol every year, and experts say somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 Estonians die from alcohol consumption annually. That's a lot of deaths for a country with just over 1 million people. In the scope of Europe, Estonia is unique in that religion is not very widespread. Although Christianity is the country's primary faith, only 28% of the population identify as religious, and only 16% of Estonian adults say that they believe in God. As a result, Estonian values tend to be less traditional. The country has the highest rate of unmarried adults in the EU, in part because so many couples live together without opting for marriage, which is not as culturally important as it is in other countries. Most Estonians live in urban areas. In fact, nearly a third of its population live in its capital city, Tallinn. Tallinn is often called the Silicon Valley of Europe, as it has more startups per person than any other European country. Many of these small businesses have actually grown into global companies, like Skype. The city also rolled out free public transit in 2013 and now makes $22 million a year in profit from the project. There's no doubt, Estonia is modern, progressive, and highly developed. The country is considered high income and consistently ranks highly in education, press freedom, quality of life, and overall human development. Barring the harsh winters and relative isolation, life in Estonia doesn't sound too bad.
Task 2.
Zero.
My name is Connor Taylor Brown, I'm 18 and I study creative media productions. Before I came to Ealing and Hammersmith, I was at high school. I wasn't focused, there was nothing there that I really wanted to do. What I really wanted to do was work with film and TV. The teachers there have been really helpful and they've taught me how to do it, but also in a way that it's mostly me learning it rather than them doing it for me. It's not always about the qualification that you get, it's often about the group of people that you meet.
One. Hi, I'm Alex. I'm 19 and I have an apprenticeship at Aquashot. At college, the connections are excellent. I got apprenticeship at the Shard, which is a bit mind-blowing really and really exciting. I work from Friday to Monday and then they give me 3 days off where I could go to college. At the college, we have a restaurant called Taste, which is open to the public. They taught me all the basics, which are very useful for when I'm at work. For me, it was the best way to be trained.
Hello, my name is Dean. I'm 21 years old and I'm studying an access to higher education course for biomedical science. So originally I was doing a degree in economics and then I decided it probably wasn't for me. So I had a look around and found this access course, which would allow me to just study for 1 year so I can go back to university and study the subject I do want to study, which is biomedical science. This sort of course brings in a whole host of different people, you know, younger people, older people, but we all have one aim, and that's to go to university next year. I want to go into research. I want to stay in an educational environment so I can continue.
Hi, I'm Catherine and I'm 17 and I study health and social care. When I was quite young, I just wanted to help people and I know I want to work with children. At the college, we get a lot of work experience opportunities. It's really good because you can see firsthand what we're learning about in the classroom. In the future, I want to go to university, hopefully in Edinburgh. But before that, I'm going to go into Bolivia to be helping with children who have got disabilities and who have been homeless. And I found out about that through the college. Being here has really shown me that I don't need to always be with other people. I can.
Hi, my name is Kevin German. I'm 36 years old and I'm studying H&D business. Because of my age, of course, I've had a lot of experience. I looked back at my life and, you know, I'm 36. I'm like, what have I achieved academically? It wasn't really much. I decided I wanted to have the qualifications behind me so that I could then take business to another level in the future. So it's a 2-year business course, which I'm doing currently. It is the foundation to a degree, so a higher education course. It was the perfect course that allowed me to build myself up over the 2 years to then finalize my degree at university. This college has been pretty instrumental in my life in terms of getting me the education.
My name is Shanice, I'm 18 years old and I do IT and computing. During my high school, one of my favourite subjects was IT. I wasn't highly experienced in IT, but I wanted to learn more. Coming into college has like changed the way I act, become more mature, and it gives me like proper good skills for the long run as well. There is a robot that we have here where we get to code how it can move. Putting in code, it's like a new language. Like I prefer the more the creative side of things. In another unit, we were taking apart a computer and taking it all out. And
My name is Connor Taylor Brown, I'm 18 and I study creative media productions. Before I came to Ealing and Hammersmith, I was at high school. I wasn't focused, there was nothing there that I really wanted to do. What I really wanted to do was work with film and TV. The teachers there have been really helpful and they've taught me how to do it, but also in a way that it's mostly me learning it rather than them doing it for me. It's not always about the qualification that you get, it's often about the group of people that you meet.
One.
Hi, I'm Alex, I'm 19 and I have an apprenticeship at Aquashot. At college, the connections are excellent. I got apprenticeship at the Shod, which is a bit mind-blowing really and really exciting. I work from Friday to Monday and then they give me 3 days off where I could go to college. At the college, we have a restaurant called Taste, which is open to the public. They taught me all the basics, which are very useful for when I'm at work. For me, it was the best way to be trained.
Two.
Hello, my name is Dean. I'm 21 years old and I'm studying an Access to Higher Education course for biomedical science. So originally I was doing a degree in economics and then I decided it probably wasn't for me. So I had a look around and found this Access course, which would allow me to just study for 1 year so I can go back to university and study the subject I do want to study, which is biomedical science. This sort of course brings in a whole host of different people, you know, younger people, older people, but we all have one aim and that's to go to university next year. I want to go into research. I want to stay in an educational environment so I can continue.
Three. Hi, I'm Catherine and I'm 17 and I study health and social care. When I was quite young, I just wanted to help people and I know I want to work with children. At the college, we get a lot of work experience opportunities. It's really good because you can see firsthand what we're learning about in the classroom. In the future, I want to go to university, hopefully in Edinburgh. But before that, I'm going to go into Bolivia to be helping with children who have got disabilities and who have been homeless. And I found out about that through the college. Being here has really shown me that I don't need to always be with other people, I can...
Four.
Hi, my name is Kevin German, I'm 36 years old and I'm studying H&D Business. Because of my age, of course, I've had a lot of experience. I looked back at my life and, you know, I'm 36, I'm like, what have I achieved academically? It wasn't really much. I decided I wanted to have the qualifications behind me so that I could then take business to another level in the future. So it's a 2-year business course, which I'm doing currently. It is the foundation to a degree, so a higher education course. It was the perfect course that allowed me to build myself up over the 2 years to then finalize my degree at university. This college has been pretty instrumental in my life in terms of getting me the education. Five.
My name is Shanice, I'm 18 years old and I do IT and computing. During my high school, one of my favourite subjects was IT. I wasn't highly experienced in IT, but I wanted to learn more. Coming into college has like changed the way I act, become more mature, and it gives me like proper good skills for the long run as well. There is a robot that we have here where we get to code how it can move. Putting in code, it's like a new language. Like I prefer the more the creative side of things. In another unit, we were taking apart a computer and taking it all out. Six.
Task 3.
The Money Saving Expert. How Martin Lewis Became the Most Trusted Man in Britain. Every Tuesday night, an email newsletter goes out to 13 million subscribers. It's far more popular than Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop newsletter, which has 8 million, and the New York Times Morning Briefing with 1.7 million. Its name, Money Saving Experts' Money Tips, barely hints at the astounding range of tricks and deals contained within. Recent emails have featured hacks for cheaper meals at Nando's and McDonald's, deals on broadband and savings accounts, codes giving discounted access to airport lounges, and an offer for free radiator heat reflector pads. The newsletter looks like a relic from an earlier age of the internet. Thousands of words, with no ads and few images. It began as an email that Martin Lewis, the personal finance journalist now better known as the money-saving expert, wrote for his friends. Today, it is the work of dozens of people at moneysavingexpert.com, the website Lewis founded in 2003, which has become one of the 100 most popular sites in the UK, with 16 million visitors a month. The business of saving money has made Lewis extremely wealthy. After he sold the site in 2012 to the price comparison firm Money Supermarket for £87 million, the Financial Times called him the most successful journalist in the world ever. A year later, he was the seventh most Googled celebrity in the UK, nestled between Taylor Swift and Beyoncé. At a time when money has become the measure of everything, when people often think of themselves as consumers rather than citizens, Lewis has become the most trusted man in Britain. In 2015, 7 months before the EU referendum, a poll found that 71% of people trusted him when he talked about Europe, putting him ahead of any other public figure. He has achieved that status through an unusual combination of journalism, campaigning and light entertainment, without falling victim to the public's suspicion of journalists, campaigners, and entertainers. In our age of insecurity, Lewis stands out as a reassuring source of authority. Addressing a country that has never been comfortable talking about money, Lewis takes us by the hand and guides us through the bewildering world of finance. He comes across as a kind of double agent who goes undercover among the powerful, then reports back to the rest of society.
It may feel as though banks, corporations and energy companies are lined up against the individual, with few politicians willing to intervene. But Lewis's work offers the alluring promise that in the battle between business and consumer, you can, with the right information, emerge the victor. Today, at 46, Lewis is a TV personality as much as anything. He appears weekly on Good Morning Britain and This Morning, while his primetime ITV programme, The Martin Lewis Money Show, regularly attracts around 4 million viewers. Lewis's success depends on the trust he has built with the public, and he tends to this like an anxious parent. Everything featured on Money Saving Expert has been chosen by its editorial team. The Money Saving Expert. How Martin Lewis became the most trusted man in Britain. Every Tuesday night, an email newsletter goes out to 13 million subscribers. It's far more popular than Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop newsletter, which has 8 million, and the New York Times Morning Briefing with 1.7 million. Its name, Money Saving Experts' Money Tips, barely hints at the astounding range of tricks and deals contained within. Recent emails have featured hacks for cheaper meals at Nando's and McDonald's, deals on broadband and savings accounts, codes giving discounted access to airport lounges, and an offer for free radiator heat reflector pads. The newsletter looks like a relic from an earlier age of the internet. Thousands of words, with no ads and few images. It began as an email that Martin Lewis, the personal finance journalist now better known as the money-saving expert, wrote for his friends. Today, it is the work of dozens of people at moneysavingexpert.com, the website Lewis founded in 2003, which has become one of the 100 most popular sites in the UK, with 16 million visitors a month. The business of saving money has made Lewis extremely wealthy. After he sold the site in 2012 to the price comparison firm Money Supermarket for £87 million, the Financial Times called him the most successful journalist in the world ever. A year later, he was the seventh most Googled celebrity in the UK, nestled between Taylor Swift and Beyoncé. At a time when money has become the measure of everything, when people often think of themselves as consumers rather than citizens, Lewis has become the most trusted man in Britain. In 2015, 7 months before the EU referendum, a poll found that 71% of people trusted him when he talked about Europe, putting him ahead of any other public figure. He has achieved that status through an unusual combination of journalism, campaigning and light entertainment, without falling victim to the public's suspicion of journalists, campaigners and entertainers. In our age of insecurity, Lewis stands out as a reassuring source of authority, addressing a country that has never been comfortable talking about money. Lewis takes us by the hand and guides us through the bewildering world of finance. He comes across as a kind of double agent who goes undercover among the powerful, then reports back to the rest of society. It may feel as though banks, corporations and energy companies are lined up against the individual, with few politicians willing to intervene, but Lewis's work offers the alluring promise that in the battle between business and consumer, you can, with the right information, emerge the victor. Today, at 46, Lewis is a TV personality as much as anything. He appears weekly on Good Morning Britain and This Morning, while his primetime ITV programme, The Martin Lewis Money Show, regularly attracts around 4 million viewers. Lewis's success depends on the trust he has built with the public, and he tends to this like an anxious parent. Everything featured on Money Saving Expert has been chosen by its editorial team.
Fin de la prueba.